Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the long-lasting power you need with Energizer. Menards has the largest in-stock selection of Energizer batteries. They provide solid power for flashlights, remotes, and so much more. Right now, save big on Energizer batteries. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Midnight Paco Podcast. As always, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on Instagram.
I am the underscore great underscore C-O-R-E-E. That's where you can find me. Or you can find us both at the Midnight Paco Podcast on Instagram.com. As you can see, we have a special guest in the house.
Yes, we do.
It is Mr. Daniel Myers.
Daniel P. Myers.
Yeah.
Get it right.
There we go. Already got some trench warfare going on. All right. Yeah, thanks, guys, for having me. I appreciate it. Happy to be here. Absolutely ecstatic to be here on the
Midnight Paco
podcast. Thank you. I'm just kidding.
Where can they find you, Daniel?
You find me on Daniel P. Myers on everything. DanielPMyers. That's where you can find me.
That's right, everybody. Please hit the like, subscribe, notifications, hit the flood, please.
Episode of the Midnight Paco Podcast brought to you in part by the Acumen Paralegal Services. Help you help yourself the legal way. The services that they offer is they help with documents that need to be typed, guardianships, probate, divorce, wills and trust, complaints, business organization, financial planning, and legal research and writing. Go ahead and give them a call at 216-727-0049 or 216-456-2000. Michelle White will get you right.
You know, the funny stop is Justin and I's comedy home. That's where we started. And that's where I met Daniel P. Myers. And he's been consistent on the comedy scene and, like, everywhere that I... Not everywhere, but a yeah. lot of places that I went, I come in and I'm surprised to see Daniel P. Right. Myers. It doesn't matter, you know, because, you know, you see comics, it doesn't matter. When people are, like, true to the comedy game, they're in all types of rooms.
All types.
People separate comedy, but comedy, to me, is not separated, but people separate.
Right.
They separate it in, like, black rooms, white rooms, or, you know, college crowds or things like that. But to me, comedy is comedy. And I've seen Daniel P. Myers in all rooms.
All rooms.
All rooms. And he attacks the mics fearlessly. Is there a reason why that ring light is not on?
What ring light?
The ring light.
What ring light?
You see that ring light around the phone?
No. Mm-hmm. Want some extra light?
No, but it's normally on.
Yeah. There you go.
Hey, I want to make sure I'm illuminated and you can see my eyebrows.
There you go. You got some light now. We got some light now, motherfuckers.
Yeah. So,
I turn that off with my mind.
Damn, I wish I could do that. How does it know? But, But yeah, Daniel P. Myers is attacking all rooms. Like,
hey, hold on, Daniel, how old are you?
How old do you think I am?
Well, I already know how old you are. Fair enough. For the viewers.
28. People can't figure out if I'm 17 or 39, and I can't figure out. Like, people think I get defensive when I ask them, why do you think I'm that age? But it's just me trying to figure out, because I like to be self-aware, and I like to know what people think of me when they see me, and I don't know what age I actually look like half the time.
Right.
So.
Yeah. No. See, I already know.
Okay, fair enough.
One of the names that he has, and a lot of people introduce him before they introduce him, is the best-dressed man in comedy.
Best-dressed. You see how he showed up.
Yeah, you see what he got on.
He's cool. Such an accomplishment in comedy, where everyone looks like they walked to the venue from a skate park.
Right. Or from their fucking bed. I've seen somebody in goddamn sleep pants. You know, like some shit you sleep in, like the plaid, just sleep fucking wear. Like, mm-hmm. They're just going to bed. They just rolled out of bed in a t-shirt and that. Mm-hmm. And they went on stage.
In my opinion, jeans and t-shirts are cool for open mics, but please step it up for us, yo.
I can't. I'm so terrible.
I mean, it just...
What
I'm
about
just,
your thing? Look at, like, Mark Norman and other people. That's their... I mean, they just wear their shit.
Adam Sandler.
Look, if I'm not wearing merch... If I'm not wearing a Midnight Paco shirt or a Justin Fuller comedy shirt, I try and dress somewhat. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, I have a hoodie of that. You know what I mean? And it's one of those things.
Unless it's a weekend club show, I think you have to make an exception. But otherwise, yeah, you're good with that.
I mean, if I'm performing at the Improv, I'm probably not going to wear a hoodie.
Yeah,
there
you
go. You know what I'm saying? One of those deals. Mm-hmm. But, you know... I like wearing my t-shirts and shit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's tough. I don't know.
Yeah, you're...
You come prepared every goddamn time. Yeah, he's a sharp dresser. You actually, like, put effort. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Where other people just show the fuck up. You know what I mean?
Now, this is like me putting on a t-shirt, though. Right. So this is just...
Your everyday affair?
Pretty much.
Really? Much. Everyday Daniel. He puts on the tux to take out the trash. But how long have you been doing comedy?
Like 6.5 years, if I'm gonna get specific about it. Yeah, about 6.5 years.
6.5 years.
Okay.
All right, so.
Congratulations.
Oh, yes, thank you so much.
Congratulations, that is a great accomplishment. One of the things that I noticed, like I'm a comedy nerd. So, one of the things that I noticed about Daniel, correct me if I'm wrong.
By all means.
He cares about how he looks on stage. Like, he has that... He has great stage presence. He cares about how he looks on stage. He's not slouching on stage.
Nope.
He has the mic a certain way.
Yep.
I mean, because this show is pretty much, when we started, it was pretty much about our experiences being like new comics. And,
okay.
Yeah. You know, oh, yeah.
Yeah. So things that we noticed about comedy. And one of the things that I noticed that Daniel gave, he cared about how he looked on stage, how he's standing on stage. How he holds the mic.
How he takes the mic out.
How he takes the mic out.
A professional.
Either he uses
he just grabs that bitch, dog. He just takes it and puts the mic away.
He's standing a certain way. Sometimes he uses the mic stand. He leans on it sometimes. Right. I never got that comfortable to lean on the mic stand. And it's like, you know, it's like, what preparations, or is it a natural thing? Is it something that you prepare for, watched your video on? Like what preparations did you take to, like stage presence? Like, how to look on stage? Like,
You said, to correct you if I'm wrong, you said I care about how... I do not care whatsoever. I have nothing but contempt for everyone filling up those seats. The crowds... No, I'm just kidding. I used to like compete as like a like national. I used to compete nationally as a competitive speaker, and I paused there because there's no way to say that without sounding like a dirtbag. And I think I put a lot of emphasis on just how like speaking well, like the art of public speaking.
Okay,
just projecting, talking right. I watch a lot of like preachers. Yeah. I grew up in church. emphasis on grew up in church. I grew up in church, and then I just take that and apply it to my like weird comedy kind of thing.
Right. No, it works.
Because I think there's a lot to be learned from just if you know how to public speak, pretty much.
Oh, that's most of it. People don't even like to get up in front of people at all. Right. You know what I mean? In front of classes. Mm-hmm. I never liked to get up in front of the class. I was cool in the seat talking shit. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't want to say I was, like, one of the best hecklers. You know what I'm saying? But I just, you know, you don't like to be center of attention all the time. Uh-huh. And, you know, you grow in. I never wanted to be, but, you know, there's times where it just happens because, you know, it's personalities.
Man, for me, like, early public speaking, even before comedy, like, things that I was supposed to present and publicly speak, I always threw some humor in there because I was extra nervous. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about like sweaty hands, swamp butt, the whole nine. You know,
sweaty palms are the worst.
Yeah, sweaty palms, and it's like But I threw in some humor, and I feel like if you make even in one-to-one conversations, if you throw in some humor, make the person laugh or the crowd laugh, it seems like it's easier for me. Mm-hmm. But with you, it just seems like, you know, that you are effortlessly in front of the crowd, outside of your material. Like I said before, like Daniel Myers, like his crowd work, like his observation of the room is like, that's his superpower. Like, not saying his material is bad at all. He has great material. It makes you think. But he comes out and gives a synopsis of the room. Or what happened prior to the room. Like, how did you develop that skill?
I did think about that driving here because you guys see me. I thought about it like, okay, what are these guys' opinion of me as a comic? And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys mostly see me at just the Funny Stop.
Yeah.
It's so the only time you guys see me is where I'm going up last at the end of a 2-hour long amateur night. Yeah. And the reason I go up last is not because I want to be the last guy, but because I want the hardest room.
Yep.
So I have to win them over. I have to force them to like me. Mm-hmm. And then I have to, want to see if the material works. So there's some people that you could talk to that just see me at like hilarity showcases or Funny Stop guest spots where you could be like, isn't Daniel's crowd work good? And they'll be like, what crowd work? What? Cause at Funny Stop, I'm forced to do it at, I have to do it there. Everywhere I do it a little, but there I especially, people's opinion of me is different depending on people have a higher opinion of my material if they just see me at like showcases and stuff like that as opposed to like open mics. I always go up last at open mics
because
I want the hardest room.
No, I know this about you. I know that's the reason why. Yeah, it's a skill to try. You know, you always hear comics and what they say, they always want, you know, that's, but whose spot was that? I know that somebody. So speaking of which, who are some of your comic influences?
I'd say probably my top four are Kinison, Carlin, Burr, and Louis.
Okay.
Louis C.K. Which
yeah.
I feel like if you took all four of them and you lumped them up, you'd get me.
You like to go in a lot of different directions.
I'm all. If you combine their four, because I can't watch a comic unless I see myself in them. That's just my thing. That's why I watch a very limited range of comics.
Right. So yeah, but how do you know until you
watch.
Find? Yeah.
Right.
That's a good point.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like because we talk about it all the time. Like, I'll hear some comics name and I'm like, who? Mm-hmm. You know, and of course they're torn.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea who the hell they are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind being that guy. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know who he is. You know what I'm saying? So until you watch. But I hear where you're at sometimes because I don't like to watch and then try and get. I don't want ideas to.
Yeah.
Penetrate, but I like watching comedy.
Yeah.
You know, because I'll watch, like, Dave Chappelle at any point. You know what I mean? Anytime he's up, and I'm just like, yeah, but I don't want it, you know, because I don't feel like there's any influence in anything he's going to say, you know what I mean, in any material I have.
Yeah.
But there's things that people say, you know what I mean? And it's just, we had a show, and somebody did material that it's same subject, but no, from his perspective, but it's like, I'm glad I kind of didn't do that set, but at the same time, I'm like, shit, that shit worked in the setting. You know what I mean? Being filthy or whatever the case.
Mm-hmm.
So well, I don't think none of them went up late. Who used to go up late? I know there used to be some comics that...
Is it like a Comedy Store thing? Because I know there's like a dedicated spot at the end, like at 2 a.m. Yeah. Oh, what's that called?
Who was that guy?
There's a spot. Yeah, there was...
Well, Dave Attell likes to go up.
Dave Attell, yes.
He's one of those guys. That's probably who I'm thinking of. He likes to go up.
Chappelle will go up at the Comedy Store for 4 straight hours, which I love people talking about those shows specifically because they're complaining about one of the best of all time. It's like, 4 hours is too long. It's too long.
It is too long.
As much as I love Dave Chappelle, pretty much they're saying F anybody else that's there to perform.
Yeah.
Like, I'm Dave Chappelle. I'm going to be up here for 4 hours. So if you were here to perform, F you.
Have a good night.
Because I'm going to be up
here
for 4 hours.
You can sit and watch, but the problem is people will watch because they're like, I'm going to learn. But instead of my then they're like, I'm out. I'm going to a spot.
I would probably watch them, but I would be upset that I didn't get a chance to
100%.
Yeah, for sure.
So...
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Go ahead. So what made you want to get into it? That's always my other question.
It's an honorable reason. No other career prospects?
That's a lie.
That's the Daniel Myers classic,
right?
Misdirection. That's
serial
me.
Killer.
What are you talking about? I watched it when I was like 12, and it was weird. Despite not being the social guy, not being the talkative guy, I was never the class clown. But I just saw it, and I'm like, I'm doing that.
Really?
I don't. Right. So there's something deeply ingrained in me, and over the years I've figured out what that is and what appeals to me about comedy, which is pretty much like being the star performer in this sick, twisted play we're all in, that's my thing.
I feel like I could be sort of the same way, like it seems like you're not naturally a quiet person. Like, you'll stay out the way. Some people may say introvert. You heard that before?
Sometimes.
Okay. And I can be that way sometimes, but not, you mm-hmm. know, like I'm normally like, you know, like most places I go, I'm chilling. I'm quiet,
mm-hmm.
but I will talk to people.
Yeah.
Talk.
Huh?
Yeah, you talk to everybody. Who the hell are you kidding?
No, but
can you tone it down?
You get all types of, you like, you know, backgrounds and remember all types of information.
Well, that's because I have I have conversations with people. Like individually, I'm not in front of the room. Like, hey, y'all, hey,
no.
You know,
no.
I'll go and talk to a person and get to know them and ask questions and things that. But you know, as far as like versus like some comics, as soon as they come in, you know they're there. Oh, he's a comedian. Listen to him. He's telling jokes. He's making everybody in the room laugh.
Right.
That's not me.
No.
I'm quiet. I'm observing. I'm watching, and But it's like, even like, you've witnessed, Justin, like, my days has been like, ugh. I don't even feel like doing this.
Oh, yeah.
But then when my name is called, it's like showtime. Boom.
Right.
You go up there and you do your thing.
You come alive.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, man. Because I started doing this, I'm late in the game. You know, I'm 45 years old. You know, we're late. You know, it's something I've always wanted to do, but like I said, I started late in the game, and I was looking for open mics, and I found the Funny Stop. So I went. The first time I ever went up was July 2019,
mm-hmm.
and I never went back until December of 2020. I wanted to go back, and then my job was just, I was working late hours, this and that, so I quit. Quit my job, and I got another job so I could start doing comedy, because it's something I fell into. I've always wanted to do it. The moment I did it, I knew I wanted to do it.
That's it.
You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I watched, I think I went a week before, and I watched, and I'm like, cool. Because I see a few people out there, like, I can do this. Mm-hmm. After the first time, it's funny because when I rewatch it, because I haven't posted it, I know exactly where I went wrong in some of the jokes. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you learn every time. Every time you go up, you learn something new. And it was beautiful that even after the first time, I realized where I fucked up on some jokes. You know what I'm saying? But it was something I've always wanted to do, and it took forever, you know, to actually do it. But you've always been a staple. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You've always been there. I don't remember, like in 2019, I don't remember. 2020, when I started going consistently. You know, and then he started showing up, because I didn't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
I was like, I show up, sit in my little fucking seat. I was probably the same place. I don't even think I talked to you until he started showing up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because he talks to fucking everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, he goes around the room and says everything. And I think you have been doing it maybe about 4 years at that time. Yeah.
Yeah.
2.5 years.
So it's just,
you've always... you know, been a staple, and it's, you grew on me. Because when I first started going, I'm watching you, and I'm like, I like some of your jokes, but I haven't seen people just not feeling, you know what I mean? And it's like late, you know, especially when you go up, you know what I mean, late at night. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, I appreciate, we talk about it all the time, because trust me, you listen to all of our episodes. It's a documentary of our stand-up career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and we talk about everybody there, never in a bad light.
Okay.
Obviously, we're not up here killing you. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
We observe and we talk about you all the time because you go up there. Like I said, you come. You're professional. When you handle the open mics, RIP Pete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You show up and you help run all that shit. You know what I mean? That's, you do a lot, man.
Yeah.
Good for you. At 28 years old?
Me, McClure, and Vanderhorst.
Shout out to Cam.
Shout out to Cam and Bob.
We brought him up, and Bob. Yeah.
No, but before Pete passed away, Daniel was very...
Oh, much
involved in that process.
All the time, yeah.
If a host or...
Oh, yeah.
Or selecting the next performance for the contest.
Yep. He's been very involved. Always involved, yeah, especially when you're hosting. And he lights everybody.
Begrudgingly lights everybody.
Wait.
This is perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, fucking right.
Here we go.
You got some individuals like...
I apologize anytime. On behalf of me, I apologize.
Yeah, like, okay, like if I ran times. The light a couple of times... Yeah, sorry about that.
I've gotten off the stage.
Don't worry.
I've gotten off the stage and came to you and like, did I run the light? I apologize.
No, I feel like with you, I feel like I...
You know my bits and when I'm going to end?
Not so much that, but I feel like I've messed you up on the light on my end, because I'm like running around doing something.
Yeah.
I feel like I've done that to you twice.
Okay.
Which ain't much, but it's still
more
than I've done to anybody else.
But I always feel bad, because I know my shit, and I know where the 5 minutes is, and I'm like...
I trust you guys.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, one of the things is that Justin and I sort of pride ourselves is we never went up there with pen and pad. We never went up there with a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And we try our damnedest not to run the light.
Yeah.
You know, one of Pete's things was, and it was like, when people would come in, Pete would be showing people, Steve Harvey, he started right here. John Hinton, he started here. You see Cool C? His first time he did 2 minutes. I'm like, Pete, you gonna tell everybody that, man? Jeez.
I think it was a minute 30. You
know? Or something like that.
Yeah,
like, I did a minute of fire.
Minute 30 and out.
Yeah, I was like, that's all I got. Have a good night. But yeah, but I try not to run the light because that's so important. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like watching people like you, Daniel, that, you know, like cares about their appearance on the stage. Like, for example, I used to pace. I used to mess with the cord because I got OCD.
Time.
If that cord was tangled, I would be like doing my set and like zone out on the cord trying to straighten it out.
No,
like,
this was it right here.
Yeah, I was trying to straighten the cord out.
That shit.
And I was like, you know, no, I got to start being still. Like, you know, like, and look the part like people like Daniel.
You watch,
What I would have noticed my issue is lately, as far as like, not ticks, but I will tighten the mic stand so much that people can't pull it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've had so many people like, I can't get this out. I can't get this out. Like, I'm gripping it like those people that start off like at a arm wrestling tournament. It's just like, like the very powerful grip.
Good thing you're at the end.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody has to worry about me. And then no, 5'5".
And see, I don't do it. I don't give a fuck if it's this tall, this tall. Just grab it and put it aside because I don't use that shit for nothing. Unless sometimes I do, because when I put the leg off on the bed, that helps. You know, he remembers. See, I got
he does a bit where he needs his hands and body, so he has the the mic on the stand.
I'm hilarious.
And he smells like fun, everyone.
I smell like fun all the time.
So Daniel, like, can you help me understand, like, your personal self and the character that comes on the stage? Like, help me understand that conversion.
There's not really a character. It's we were talking about a second ago about like I seem quiet off stage, but I'm just focused.
Okay.
I'd like to say I don't have bad social skills. I just don't have fake social skills.
There you go.
I can't
like that.
Like you have a responsibility to be pleasant with everybody you come in contact with.
Right.
But and that's why some people think people get upset when they're new, and people feel like the older people are treat them a little cold and distant. Like I said, your responsibility is to be pleasant with people.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I can't stress the drop-off rate in stand-up. The amount of generations I've seen come through the Funny Stop are just everywhere.
Right.
And people that you become friends with them, you become friendly, and then out of nowhere, they just drop off the face of the earth.
We talked about that.
Yeah. And so often, it's like, no, it's just, it's not that I'm not being friendly to you, it's just that I don't want to invest. I've had so many people that I liked and respected, and now they're just gone.
Right.
People that, and not just people that do it once or twice. I'm talking about people that have full blown weekends, and they'll do this, they'll do that, they'll be on podcasts, and then they'll be gone.
Wow.
And all along they just treated this like a hobby kind of thing.
I get it, and it's almost like that relative that has a boyfriend, different boyfriend
all the time. Yeah, I just like, hey, what's up?
Yeah, you be cordial, but you don't want to get too attached
no investment.
You know he's going to probably be gone like in 6 months or 3 months.
Yeah.
Like.
You can call me Pa if you want, Junior. No, I'm not.
I'm good.
You're right.
He's here smashing back.
There you go. Someone had to say it.
100%. No, I agree with you.
I get it, and I understand.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that was something that Justin and I went through. We were trying to find, like, people that we were comfortable with, like, that were comfortable to go on tour with, to do shows with.
Yeah.
And they'll be here for a minute, and then poof.
Right.
So I get that. Right. I really do. Really do get that.
And it's not it's not exclusive to people that only do it 2 or 3 weeks. It might be the amount of great veteran comics we lost because of COVID, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine. And, you know, well, that's just people who are out there trying to, you know, survive on that then. You know what I mean? But you figure they would come back to it if they really loved it. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't want to say thank God for COVID, but I don't know. Well, not even COVID, because it was just the job itself. Because I ended up, because I was used to work for a sweeping company, but you would work okay. with a construction company. And so in the wintertime, you work at night, you sweep like Save-A-Lot parking lots and shit like that. So it was just, you know, being there sweeping. And so I just started listening to podcasts, Joe Rogan's podcast. Joel Byers, you ever hear Hot Breath?
No, Joe Byers.
Shout out to Joe Byers and Hot Breath.
And his new show.
It's on Hot Breath, but it's produced by Big Laugh Comedy now.
That sounds like a that sounds like a show trying to compete with Hot Ones and failing miserably. Hot.
You know, the ones with the wings?
Yeah, you gotta eat a progressively hotter hot sauce.
Oh, yeah.
No, he doesn't do nothing. He just calls it Hot Breath. But he's had like 400 comedians on. He's interviewed so many people. And he was on our podcast.
He's also on the Midnight Paco podcast.
Yeah, he was on our podcast. So shout out to him.
Shout out to Joe Byers.
But where the fuck were we going with that?
You were talking about like sweeping companies and you were working at that.
So, pot people. Weed, marijuana. So I was driving, I started listening to it, and I've always wanted to do comedy, and that's when I started hearing about, because he talked about open mics and things like that, and I'm like, oh, okay. You know, so it's just, you know, it's amazing where, you know, you hear that shit, but you hear so many different fucking things, and I had to look up online to see how to take the mic out of the fucking stand. Because I didn't want to fuck up the first time I went up there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
you say you got a video of that.
Oh, the first one.
If we ever have a bet, that's the punishment.
What? It's on YouTube.
Oh, it is?
It's already posted.
I always felt like...
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free. Select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Your first time doing stand-up, a video of it, is the greatest form of blackmail
ever.
I would rather be caught embezzling $1 million from a charity than someone see my first time doing stand-up.
The problem is the middle...
Children's Hospital, Daniel?
Yes, Children's Hospital, yes.
The middle joke didn't go over as well because I was talking about Kevin Winslow Jr., and if you don't explain who exactly Kevin Winslow Jr. was, the joke kind of wasn't the best. That's when he got busted jerking off in the Target parking lot, you know what I mean?
Former Browns player.
Yeah, he's a Browns player. And I said Kevin Winslow. I didn't say Kevin Winslow Jr. So basically, I was talking about his dad.
Right.
And so he wasn't the one. But either way, you know, when you watch it back, you realize where you mess up on certain jokes. But all in all, it wasn't bad. And it was a packed house that night, too. It was great. It was like 50 fucking... I mean, it was packed. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was. It was before COVID, obviously. So that was like in the heyday, July. I don't know what it was, but it was packed that night. But, you know, I mean, it was just... It's one of the best things to do after you do it.
Yeah.
Even if you don't go over well. You said you've watched Kill Tony.
Yeah.
How many people die a horrible death in a minute?
Exactly.
No, but here go my question.
We get five.
One of the things that I noticed is I haven't noticed you recording your sets.
Yeah, I do not.
You do not?
Yeah, I pretty much, because I'm doing, because this is all I have, and people think I exaggerate when I say that, but I'm literally doing this every night, no exceptions. I did 3 mics on my birthday and a mic on Christmas.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm able to remember, and I know you could, like, if you watch a video, it'll be like, oh, I said it that way, I said it this way. I have a pretty good memory, so I know, like, oh, I said it this way, it works. Like, I know all my percentages of, like, this joke, it works 90% of the time. This joke works 40% of the time. This specific line doesn't work because I didn't say that word, so it only works 40%. Like, I have all this stuff in my head.
But you know,
could it help me a little? Absolutely, but it's just... I'm a perfectionist enough, so I feel like...
I have to interject.
By all means.
You know why you should record? Because you don't have to give out your material. Everything you do before your material is postable stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're 28. How much do you post? Nothing.
Plenty of show posters.
Okay. Well, yeah, because you're out there kicking it, but I'm just saying, no clips? all your crowd work shit. All the stuff that's before.
Gold. That shit is gold.
You ain't got to give out your material. Because I know how you are, and so you don't want to put that out there because you want your show and your shit. But all that other stuff is stuff you can post because it's all different.
Yeah, that's
every show is different.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And even with the little crowds, you hit on certain things. Even when you say we got you host, you know what I'm saying? It's hilarious. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. You know what I mean? You can post all that little bits. It's something. You know what I mean? It's just to boost up your because you are funny. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And all you see is your posters, but you want people to start coming for you.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's, people don't think people listen or watch because of a certain person. We did a show last week in Beaver, PA.
Shout out to Beaver Falls,
PA. I'm sorry. And after the show, a girl's like, "You're funny. I'll come to any show that I can get to." Thank you. You know, that's awesome. Now, will she? I don't know, but either way, it felt good. You know what I mean? To have somebody want to actually come see me. It wasn't family or a friend or somebody I'm holding hostage. Come on, please. You know what I'm saying? I need 5 people to show up so I can perform. No. You know what I mean? It's just good. So you got to start putting yourself out there like that. That's all.
Well, I do neglect that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You hear with the conversation you had with Daniel?
Yeah.
I had this conversation about a year ago. How long ago was it?
Oh, did really? Of course you did.
And the same response, like, okay, yeah.
Of course you did.
You're right. Yeah.
You know why I'm saying this to you? It's because he's probably put it in my fucking head this whole time.
It's like a constant feedback loop.
You know how long I've been to Instagram? Since I've been doing comedy. 2.5 years. That's it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know. I almost think I'm being serious. Like it's almost like a crime that Daniel's committing because he's doing this great material. He's not posting none of it.
None of it.
And it's great material. Like you said you want to go to New York.
He is about to read me the riot act.
I'm just kidding. I'm just saying, like, you know.
No, you're right. You're 100% right.
I don't know. I mean.
I'm stubborn, and I just want the.
Art.
I'm working on that. I just want the skill to be there. I know I have the marketing ideas I want to do, but that's not until later on. And most importantly, like I said, I'm stubborn. I want to get into the, like, be heavily featured at the major clubs first before I start doing any of that. Because I feel like that's the feather in my cap that I want right now.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like I should be there already, but that's just my bombastic opinion.
That a boy, see?
No.
Throw some fire out there. No,
it's like, you
think
know,
there's a blacklist in this bitch?
No, I'm just, I'm boring. And like I said, I don't have fake social skills.
Not true. Yeah.
Nobody's holding me back, but nobody's, if this was run like a sport, I'd be much farther.
Right.
Work ethic and results. That's all I care about.
Right. Yeah. No, you're out there. Yeah.
I mean, like every comedian,
and you work at it.
Every comedian, the ones that are considered like the heavy hitters in Cleveland know and respect Daniel Myers.
Oh yeah. Yeah. G-Dubs was just talking all about last time.
I've been at Hatfield's.
Yep.
When, shout out to John
Armstrong.
Shout out to John Armstrong. He introduced you as a very prolific joke writer. I think that's what he said.
Yeah.
Quote unquote. Like one of the best joke writers, and this was what, a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
That was like peak COVID when he was hosting the Hatfield mics. So.
Yeah.
We went when we first started there. Thursdays are tough because that's when it is now, right? Or I think it changed to Wednesdays.
No, they changed back to Wednesday.
Yeah. It's Wednesday now.
Jacob, right?
Jacob Bunny, who's awesome.
Yeah. Shout out to Jacob Bunny. We met him too.
We met him at Tyrone's Marriott show.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
the rabbit hole is his mic on Wednesdays.
Wednesdays.
Yeah, yes, okay. Wednesdays.
Yeah. So it's like,
what time does it start for other people out there?
It starts at, I believe, I can never make it down there because it's Wednesday and I got to be down in Cuyahoga Falls. Right. I believe it's 7:30. I want to say.
Okay. So the rabbit hole. Where
anybody in the Cleveland, Ohio area?
Hatfields.
Yeah, 7:30. 2 hours. 7:30. 9:30. I believe.
Hatfields.
I'm 99%. Yeah, Hatfields. Good grub in. It's like the Lakewood, Cleveland border. So whatever that is.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, sounds safe. Okay. Yeah,
we got to be specific because fortunately our show is broadcast all over the world.
All over the world. That's what I'm saying. See,
where's that spot that freaks you out?
There was just a lake and there was a dot in the middle of the fucking lake. And I was
we get to see the analytics of who listens to the show.
Yeah, it was just, I'm like, that's Daniel P. Myers.
He's on his yacht listening to the podcast.
He's in the middle of the lake.
Somewhere. Thanks,
somewhere
Daniel.
In the woods listening. No,
some guy like in a boat hat with lures on it. And he's just in the middle of some lake. Dumping a body, and he's like, I like the cut of these guys' jib. I like these guys. They speak to me.
It is weird as shit to see a dot.
The Loch Ness Monster loves this show.
That's right.
But that's what I was getting at. You don't know if you post shit, who's going to see you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That shit worldwide, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
We got fans in the Philippines.
Yeah.
And UK.
Shout out to
everybody out there.
And Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, shout out to everybody that watches and can hear our voice.
Hey, speaking of which, you remember Barakat, who came to the Funny Stop?
It was his first time doing comedy in English.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, he do. And yes, he do. Yeah. What the hell was that? yes, he do. He do his thing. He had to go back to...
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia, and he was doing... What was he? He was doing
a tour.
He does, like, the equivalent of, like...
NBC.
It's
NBC over there.
Yeah, comedy, like, shows.
No. Let's rewind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Shout out to Barakat.
Shout out to Barakat.
he did a set at Cuyahoga Falls.
Yep.
And I don't know what's wrong with people. Yeah. They just... They didn't say nothing to him. They didn't talk to him. Justin and I talked to him all night. Come to find out, I was like, you know, we told him we had a podcast. He was like, oh, you guys have a podcast? He was like, I do a show too. I'm like, oh, yeah. Where can I find you? You're on YouTube? Yeah. He was like, NBC? Like, you on NBC, dog?
So, yeah. And he just started a podcast, and it looks professional as shit.
Oh,
you know what I mean? But it's like, you never know. Who the hell you're going to meet? You know what I mean? He's on stages. It's all clear. Looks like he's on Just for Laughs.
He's a big-time comic over there.
Big-time comic in Saudi Arabia. But that's like you just never know who you're going to meet within this comic. Like I said, man, I talk about it all the time. 2.5 years I've been doing it. I've met so many people that I never would have met, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Because we all have one goal, to make people laugh.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's something we want to do. Because fuck working in a warehouse.
There you go.
Fuck working in the office.
And this is the one job you can take to the end. To the finish line.
And
there's no...
Yeah. Let me piggyback on that. I want to say being a comic is the only job that you can get paid for being yourself.
100%.
Yeah. I'd say it's the last bastion of free speech, at least.
Yeah.
I'd say... I mean, that's another subject, but yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Free speech. So, are you opposed to doing skits, doing any acting, or where would you like for your comedy to take you, Daniel Myers?
I have very lofty goals. I want to be one of the best of all time. That's
love it.
That's
Steve Martin.
Sure, why not? If I'm going to give up my entire life for this, I want the equivalent of that back. And I think that's why I have no life outside of this. Because it's, you know, relationships, friends, hobbies, nothing. Just every... Because I think that's what greatness is, to me at least, is when you... Absolutely. It's not just you work hard at something, but you make it your entire life.
Right.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's... I have very simple goals, but they're big ones.
No, that's true. That's the only way to have it. Shit.
For us laymen that don't speak or understand things, would you be opposed to doing movies?
No. Anybody that can use my limited range of skills, I'm more than happy to oblige.
Limited range of skills. Sometimes just being yourself is a skill.
No. Being Daniel Myers, like, he would be the best supervillain ever.
Right? See, like, that laugh he just...
Ever. Because who would suspect Daniel? And I don't want to put his skit out here, but who would suspect him putting bombs at the bottom of everybody's chairs?
Yeah, right.
I'm the most adorable looking Muppet you've ever seen. Y'all play like that, what was that, in Gotham, where it's that Batman show where the Joker was supposed, like they played him off as like this circus kid. And he just looked like the most innocent person in the world, and then it turns out he's the supposedly the Joker. I can pull that off.
He's one of my faves.
So, all right. So, like I was saying earlier off camera, like a lot of times, like people inject their personality into their material. Can we talk about some of your material?
You say that so suspiciously.
Yeah, right? Like, what are you talking about?
Like, what are you talking about?
So you get really dark sometimes, what? Daniel.
Why would you say that? Why would you? Are you kidding me? I'm a ray of sunshine in just this bog of comedy we live in, this miasma of comedy. I got, what do you mean dark? I got like 20 minutes on my favorite air freshener scents. Like, what do you mean dark?
20 minutes
of air freshener. Like, you know serial killers by their first names, and like the guys, what's those guys
from
name?
Columbine?
Yeah, what? I know about the Columbine shooters, but I don't know their first names, dude.
One second. Edit out. Got it. Okay. All right. By all means, continue.
I mean, I've watched a documentary. When he brings it up, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember their names. Yeah. But I wouldn't remember them offhand. But I'm a pothead. I mean, my memory is, you know.
Like, help me understand that. Like, I mean, I know it's
fascinating. Well, come on. He writes it. So he knows the names because he's written it down. He made the joke up. Actually, he's enjoying it.
Yeah, no, look at
him. You touched the subject he loves so much.
I can't joke about anything that I haven't either, like, cried or shrieked or, like, been fearful of.
Right.
I don't write any, like, I do 99% like darker material, absolutely. But that's only because I feel like that's what you have to be joking about.
Yeah.
Like, and listen, I don't look down on anybody that does like everyday stuff, but right. I think the goal of comedy should be, laughter should be the medicine to the polar opposite, which is sadness, despair, that kind of thing.
Depression.
Yeah, like I don't have to, like I write that stuff with reverence. I don't go, I'm going to be the edgy guy.
Right.
Do I get an ego boost when I can make that stuff work? Absolutely. Right. But I don't go like, oh, I'm going to be the dark, weird guy.
See, I thought maybe that was your goal, is to be the
fair
dark
enough
guy.
Maybe you're still right.
His name is Daniel P. Myers, not Critcher Pimpeppy.
Well, no, because he's just the weird guy. There's a difference. No, because I'm like Anthony Jeselnik. His goal is to be that. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm going to be that guy. He doesn't take it some extreme, you know. Actually, no, it's about the same.
One of his specials was a Fire in the Maternity Ward.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
So is that their angle, most of it?
Yeah, it's well, people say he's like Anthony Jeselnik, he's edgy, but he has like a degree in like English writing or something like that. Like, right. He's not edgy, he's just an impeccable writer that likes it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have, like, comedy should be what we fear, pretty much.
Right.
Like, I don't have to feel better about somebody having 14 items in the express lane that's in front of me. I don't have to feel better about that. I have to feel better about, this is the analogy I always use. I have to feel better about the woman that went to work at the Twin Towers on September 11, 2001 and sat down at 8 a.m., looked at the clock, said, oh, it's going to be a long shift, but I can't wait to go home and see Matt and the kids. And then 2 hours later, made the conscious decision to jump to her death because it was better than burning alive. We could sit around and cry about that, or we can laugh about it.
Right.
Now, it depends on the integrity of the person. Do you think the person has integrity that's joking about that, or someone has no respectable qualities? But yeah, you have to go a little crazy, a little, because this, try to be normal. It's, this world's tough.
And I know your joke, so I'll give her a
7.
Yeah. Fair enough.
No, but so
I don't know her by name. But I know, anyways, I'm just kidding.
100%. No, I agree with you.
But see, like, okay, so I tried to put myself in the situation of a mass shooting.
I don't do that, but okay.
I do, because my background...
Oh, it's the victim. Okay, gotcha.
No, not the victim. Oh, but just being in an environment of the beginning of a mass shooting. Mm-hmm. This is what's going on in my mind. If I see somebody shoot somebody, because it starts with one person, right? I'm like, man, I would be there like, woo, he must have did that person dirty. And then he shoots somebody else, and he'd be like, wait a minute, hold on, wait. He did it too? Oh, man, they must have did him dirty, but wait a minute. And then at one point, you'll be like, oh, shit, he's shooting everybody. Let me get the hell out the way.
It takes three people?
Yeah, like, whoa.
Holy shit.
Wait a minute, they don't even look like they know each other. Like,
I know for a fact they don't have classes together.
Right, you know, so it's like, you know, you got to, you know, I think about that because it's like my background, you may have, how can I'm not saying I'm numb to stuff, but it's like you've seen situations happen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you're like, whoa. Yeah, that, you know, like I said, the first person that he killed, I would be like, man, he must have,
right?
She must have stole his money or something. Right, he must have said something to his mother or something like that. And then you'd be like, shh, that's messed up. But then he keeps killing.
Right.
And you're like, whoa, maybe I need to get the fuck out of Dodge. You know, like.
I'm just amazed it takes a few people for you to start running.
Normally, like, if you see somebody take one person out, you think it's personal.
But the second one, you got to a third is one of the
Well, no, I'm just saying.
You decide to leave.
When you hear the gunshots, of course you're going to naturally.
The first one.
Natural reaction is you're going to take cover, and you're going to be like, damn, he must have did that person dirty.
That's when it comes in. You didn't say anything about it getting taken cover, that's all.
Well, of course you're going to take cover. It's a natural reaction. You hear a shot, bah, you. It's a natural reaction.
Okay.
You know, like even at the gun range. Certain guns at the gun range, they'd be like, boom, boom, boom. You'd be like, God damn, what the fuck
you got a cannon in there?
Yeah, so you like, you know, it's a natural reaction to.
I got you.
So they're like, damn, whoa. Damn. And then,
I'm just thinking of that Letterman top tens they used to do. stuff people. He probably would never do this one, but stuff that people never say during a school shooting. It's like number one, why is he wearing a romper?
Romper.
That's an odd choice.
Yeah.
For the biggest day of your life. Is he wearing a romper?
Why is he wearing a romper?
Romper.
Or the J's he was wearing was fire. That's it, I'm done. I'm not jumping in that route. Even though I can go, and you know I can, but I'm not.
I mean, the guns are slick.
I would be like, damn, that was a fire ass weapon. Like, he had the night vision on that shit.
Can't prepare.
Damn,
for
he had the green beam on there, and
he forgot the shell catcher.
Like, yeah, he had the shell catcher. He wasn't playing, leaving no evidence. You know.
No, you can pick all that shit out. That's amazing with comedy. That's what I love about it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's why I said even with the open mics, you know. We talk about this all the time. I treat it as a show. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to me that shit ain't packed all the time.
Hold on one second.
Yeah.
D.L. Hughley. Shout out to D.L. Hughley.
Shout out to D.L. Hughley.
He has a son with Asperger's.
Okay.
And he said, yes, I paid for my son to get laid. And he said, one of the things that all of those mass shooters have in common, they ain't getting none.
Really?
That's what he said. He said, so he's willing to do...
All of them? I don't know. The Columbine gets sex. Daniel, you've seen a lot on...
So we're going from you know them by name to... Daniel, you know the mass shooter's body counts, don't you? You know that, don't you?
I can't remember.
Come on.
Didn't they have girlfriends? I can't remember. Were they smashing?
Like, none of them were.
None of them?
I don't think
they were just getting made fun of.
I don't know, but you know that's a very good observation. You know, like they're not getting none. Like,
I mean,
could that be a reason? I mean, I don't know. Is it? Is like it? My thing is, if you're heterosexual, meaning that you like the opposite sex, and the thought, in addition to if you think you're going to heaven or hell, that you will never be able to get that taste of heaven again.
No, I don't know. No, that's just people wanting to kill people.
No, but I'm just saying, like, if you know the consequences is going to prison,
they're going to get some butt in prison.
That's nasty. No, no, well, I'm just saying, like,
I don't know.
I'm just saying, like,
that's the alternative: get some butt or go to prison for killing people.
No. If you know that you will never be able to be with a woman again, if you get arrested, that's something that will go through your mind.
That's the reason to not kill people.
No, that's the reason to not want to go to prison.
I mean, you
unless you're gonna be gay for the state.
No, but you can also have some crazy bitch that loves you because you kill, you know, eventually. Because all these people,
yeah, they had fans.
Man, mm-hmm. Richard Ramirez, he was getting all types. Didn't he get married? Or there's all types of chicks love that dude.
I was through with him after, you know. I was like, okay.
People send letters.
The most
they
messed up thing, he was vomiting on the comment.
Yeah. Once you want to throw up, was where you're at. That's hilarious. But what I'm saying is, so that some of them can get married while they're in jail and have conjugal visits. So guess what?
They win. I don't think the serial killers get that privilege.
Why won't
Do they get that privilege, Daniel?
Why wouldn't they?
It's getting to, this is getting to the point where it's like, we need a tidbit on a serial killer or mass shooter. Let's throw it to our on-field correspondent,
yes,
Daniel
Myers. Do they get this?
Well, hello, Corey. Thank you for asking. Bundy had a kid in prison. Yeah. There you go. Boom.
See?
I'm not even reading from a teleprompter right now.
That's fucking facts. Because he has a Bundy joke, too. Oh, yeah. He has all of them, actually.
People act like they don't know this stuff, too.
I didn't know the Bundy
one. I didn't know he had a kid in prison.
Well, yeah, that's a deep cut. But
I understand.
Do you know his original last name was Cowell?
He's getting more detailed. See, I told you he had the knowledge.
If you want to write me off as that, I'll double down.
Well, you have to.
I'll make this real uncomfortable.
Not at all. I've watched all these documentaries, and plus your jokes. All of it.
What type of makeup did what's his name? John Wayne Gacy.
Pancake makeup. Dollar store. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Whoa.
That's hilarious.
It really is.
Correspondent, Daniel P. Myers.
Thank you so much.
Just past Halloween. No.
No.
Man. Awesome.
Now, that's some good stuff. Like, okay, so if there was a comedy magic wand, Daniel, where would you be? What would you be doing?
The next, like, all time?
Yeah.
Headlining Madison Square Garden. That's you've, and then... You've made it if you do that.
How much time do you have?
I can't put a finger on it because until you are consistently doing 45 minute set, how much time I have certified good bits.
Right.
How well do they work together?
Right.
I don't know.
Okay.
I've done a half hour a couple times, 15 minutes consistently. But if I'm doing like, I know I have over 45, but it's like how...
Well,
if I actually walked up there and did 40, I know all the material is strong.
Right.
I'd like to think. I'll always be open to it not being quite A+.
Right.
But I know that how does this stuff work together? Right. That's the question.
Yeah, that's putting it. So have you ever thought about putting on a show as a headliner?
No, I'm not going to make my own.
Work on it.
I've gotten more like 15, 30 minute. And I'm happy with how those sets have been going.
Okay.
So just working my way up.
Okay. So in a sense, once you do that, you kind of know where you can put it together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get in the mindset because, you know, I've done 15 minutes. And like, it's funny because even the one set I do with the, the Amber Alert shit that goes into some other stuff, it's like I've realized when I slow it down a bit and I'm comfortable in certain spots, it stretches out because I'm so used to 5 minute fucking sets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and we just did, you know, this time I did like basically 15 minutes.
Yeah,
it was
there
like
you go.
just under 15, I think. And it was just like, wow, I could have stretched
it
because I sped up. you know, I sped up because I knew I got the light. And I'm like, oh, shit, I got to finish the end of it. You know what I mean? So it's just, it's when you, like, we used to argue all the time. He's like, we got this much time. I'm like, dude, we got, like, this much time.
We got a fucking hour.
We got, like, 10 minutes. You know what I mean? But the more you do it and the more comfortable you get doing it, you see where you slow down a bit. Because I watched Mark Norman.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, and it's like,
yeah,
he's fucking joke, but you know what I mean? And that's his style.
Yeah.
I can, you know, I see that and I'm like, slow down.
Exactly.
Take a breath.
You don't, I mean? I watch, and I have tremendous respect for that.
Right.
But to me, that's like nails on a chalkboard.
Right.
It's like, I feel like I'm not even listening to a person.
Yeah,
It's like those AI comedy skits they do, like where they'll send a robot up with like a, just like comedy material, and he'll do it.
And
AI generated.
He was gonna have his phone read his joke.
No one has done that.
No, so it sounded funny.
It sounded funny. Siri did it a lot better than I did.
Right.
Sorry, baby. You're on airplane mode. Why are you waking up? But
I don't have an answer for that. Is there something?
See,
get out of here.
Hilarious.
But All right, so in my mind, Pete from the Funny Stop in Cuyahoga Falls, his straight plug was dry bar comedy. Because it seems like everybody either just came from doing the dry bar. So I noticed that you don't swear, but your material's a little on the edge. Do you think you could do dry bar with your comedy?
I would have to watch a lot of dry bar specials to see what is considered, because there's different like definitions of clean. There's PG. Some people want clean, like you go up in front of a Christian crowd,
right?
And some people want PG-13, like it's like, oh, I got to be like, I'm performing for children. No, you're performing in front of adults.
Right.
It's just you gotta bring it back a little. Use more creative wording on this. Use a better word for this. Don't curse here.
I'm doomed. I mean, I'll drop F bombs, but go ahead.
Yeah. No, you're.
But do you think
you guys are good? I don't. You. Yeah, you guys. I don't see any problems with. Yeah, you don't like. The big thing is like, do you?
I just talk about drugs. Innuendos, sex, you know, because I talk about buttholes and you know what I mean, all types. But I just don't say.
Buttholes. I don't notice that. So I. If you're listening to you on autopilot, it's like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with this. It's creative wording. It's not.
Yeah, no, I don't get like super. I don't drop F bombs. I'm never like, I'll drop a shit here and there ass, but you know, I'm never. I ride the line very good on subject material. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
As long as you're not cursing like a sailor you're not.
No, yeah. It's never that. It's always just like I talk about being wet. You know what I mean? Because I compare it with Aquaman, but it's the same. It's still sex innuendos being wet. You know what I mean? So a lot of those things can be looked at as not clean. That's, you know what I mean? It's just a...
Yeah. If you could do it on a late-night talk show, just look at it like that.
Right.
Like, if you could do it on that, you're good.
So do you think you can...
I think possibly. I hear both sides of the spectrum on what my stuff is. It's either... It's like... It's all respectable from a respectable angle, or it's like, that's off the wall, dude. Like, that's...
like I said, you grew on me. You know what I'm saying? And I never thought of you as a bat. You know what I mean? It was just, I'm watching like,
You don't know me.
Okay. And then now every time it's like, Danielle! All right, Danielle!
You know, we're
fan favorites, you know what I mean? Which we'll get to. Do you see a lot of, camaraderie at the clubs? Do you look at it like that? You know what I mean? Because we're cheering for people.
As far as like not being
not even competitive, just like I'm always trying to be supportive for people. You know what I mean? And you know, it's just, you don't see a lot of it, is what I'm saying. You know, I try. We try and cheer people.
We cheer everybody.
Yeah,
you always hear us like, woo.
He's always like, thank you, Justin. In the middle of this shit.
Statler and Waldorf, or whatever their names are.
Yeah.
Off to the side.
It's just like, and in the 6.5 years you've been doing it, you know, dude, you know, because when he came in, like I said, nobody was talking to anybody, really. You know what I mean? And he's always been like, when I first started, he was like, what do you mean? Everybody's not there laughing and giggling to everybody? And it's till you see different personalities.
Yeah.
And then when you start to maneuver, I guess, is when you see how people are. I guess that's what it is. You just got to deal with multiple personalities, and it's like a microcosm of fucking life.
Yeah, this business attracts that personality.
Right.
It can attract really good. I've met some top-notch, salt-of-the-earth people. I've met some very scummy people.
Right.
And it's,
okay, yeah. So it's just maneuvering it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Just don't get your hopes up and just fucking...
People want to see you're in this for the long haul.
Yeah.
That's all they want to see at first, and then it's family. Right. That's what I've noticed.
Okay.
At least around here.
That's a good observation.
Yeah, yeah. And this is a good scene.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's he talks about it all the time. He's always getting like, I don't even want to get him started, but yeah.
It's New York, L.A., Chicago, and then Chicago's like second place. New York and L.A. are tied, and then it's like, I'd say Cleveland, Miami, those kind of places. Austin now.
Yeah, Atlanta.
I want to put us, because we're homegrown, I want to put us number three. I want to say L.A., New York, Cleveland. That's how I feel, because it's like people go to L.A., people go to New York to
right.
We here doing it, and it's a lot of great talent coming out of Cleveland.
There it is.
You know,
that's what I said.
And if it came to a competition of like homegrown comics, I'll put our team up against anybody. I know you got to go, Daniel, but
no rush, by all means.
I wanted to say, like...
I just found out I could make this chair go higher. I'm here for the long haul. Let's do another hour.
He would love that. But I only do hours.
He presses himself for time. He's hilarious. He's a superstar in this bitch.
But the thing is, and I understand you say, you don't know how long a person's going to be around, but, like, sometimes when you see a person, like their energy. I wanted to touch on, like, when I first came in. When I first came in and I saw Justin doing it, I observed 1 week. I came back and I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going up. That's when I did my famous where Pete tells everybody my 2 minutes.
Well, now, hold on. Let's give a little background. We knew each other at a job before I even started comedy.
Okay.
Like 2 years prior, 3 years prior. Yeah. We knew each other working.
Right.
So, you know, that's... And then when I left the job, I just was did it on my own. And then he called me because he keeps in touch with fucking everybody. And he was just like, what are you up to? I'm like, I'm doing comedy. He was like, for real, where? And I'm like, come on down. So that's, you know,
okay.
That's how it all. We've known each other for a while now. But go ahead, continue.
So it was like when I first came to the Funny Stop, in my mind, before coming, I was like, okay, I'm going to a comedy club. Man, it's going to be the best time ever. Everybody's
right.
Going to be shooting jokes at each other like, pow, pow, pow.
Yeah,
pow.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to be talking and laughing. When I got there, it was none of that.
None of it.
Everybody was just quiet to themselves. And I'm looking around like, this
Four
shit.
Clicks. There's clicks.
Little clicks. Little especially clicks. Afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, this is dead. I can't. To help with my anxiety, I walk around and I talk to people. Because if I feel comfortable, I have a better show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the practices that I started doing pretty much even when I do shows. I'm walking around talking to people.
Yeah, he's giving me a lot, like just watching, because it's so tough to promote or talk or be outgoing. Mm-hmm. In a sense, I gotta want to kind of talk to somebody.
Yeah.
But the beautiful thing at a comedy club is you can always talk about comedy.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what I mean? You can always talk about comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And so is it to watch him go, because... The one thing I go, when I come, I'm scripted. I know what set I'm going to do, for the most part. What I've tried to do the last few times is come and just look at the crowd and figure out what material I can try and do that night.
That's what I do.
Try and get out of my comfort zone a little bit, because the problem is my stuff, I've learned to break it up within those 5 minutes. Okay, this part's a minute and a half. You know what I mean? In my mind, I'm like, okay, this is about 2 minutes. And this is this and this and that. So when I'm sitting there and I'm looking at the crowd, because of all the shit he's always told me of how he does, because this motherfucker just shows up, he's eating, he's comfortable as hell. I'm like, what the fuck, how are you eating right now? Fucking sweaty palms, you know. And I shouldn't be nervous because I know my material for the most part. I don't go up there, I'm not, I mean, there's times I've fumbled in my head, but I've come right back, but I'm most of the time I've been doing the same fucking material for how long now, you know what I mean? So it's good. The repetition was another thing he had an issue with, you know what I'm saying? Within this comedy thing.
I hate doing the same shit.
Did that bother you?
Me, myself? Seeing.
Or doing.
Redoing, like going over the same shit over and over?
At first it did, because I'm like, I don't want to do the same stuff over and over again. Right. But I learned this trick from how to keep things fresh in my head and be excited about old material by watching, like, I would watch somebody that I like go up and I'm like, oh, I can't wait till he does this joke and see how this crowd reacts. I've heard the joke before.
Okay.
I don't care about the joke. I care about this audience specific reaction to it. And then I started applying that to myself. I'm like, oh, I'm not excited about the joke. I'm excited about what is these people going to think of this? And it always is new. And then it always feels new.
See, that's going up. Not giving a fuck if there's two people that's two people that don't know me. Yeah. That's two people that don't know these jokes. Uh-huh. So I need to make them laugh or give them my full attention.
Yeah. It's kind of a trick, but it's.
No, but that's good because, you know, because we get it in our heads is what I'm trying to say. Because we'll go there and the comics are there. You know, all the same comics. You know what I mean? We go there and all the, you know, we shout out everybody all the time, you know, but they're there. And so sometimes, like I said, there's been times I've gone up and, you know, you want to do good, you know what I mean, in a sense, but at the same time, it's like, you forget, it's like, they've heard your shit over and over and over again, you know what I mean? So, there's times where I record it, and you'll hear, like, two little lads, you know what I mean, because, you know, sometimes the night's not the best, but it's like, I remember those people, they didn't know who the fuck I was, and I got them to laugh, you know what I mean? So you appreciate the laughs and where they come from, because, like you said, not everybody knows who the hell you are, so you got to come with that same energy.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard certain nights. Don't get it twisted. And that's why you're the champion, dude, because at the end of the night, Daniel shows up, that bitch, he fucking rips the mic out this motherfucker, and he's like, I'm sorry you had to sit through all this bullshit. And he doesn't say bullshit, but he's like, because sometimes it's... That's good.
No, but see, okay, so this is something that I feel like with that statement you kind of skipped over, because I remember not looking at nobody when I first went up.
Oh yeah.
I didn't look at, but you saying it takes experience to be able to scan the crowd, be like, oh, they never saw me before. Let me see how they react.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to look at them first.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing I was good at before you.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. I wasn't looking. I take my glasses off so I can't see nobody. I mean, I might go in a direction and look like them. But now I'm actually trying to, I'm actually, like, every time I go up, I'm doing something different. I'm involving people. I'm looking at them, asking for them to participate a little bit. You know, like asking them questions and looking at that person and, you know what I'm saying, you know, stuff like that. And that's a skill that I had to develop.
It's a process, man. Yeah. That's why, the thing is, as far as hosting, I'm not a fan of it. So I like to just show up, you know what I mean? But it's a big deal for the show, you know what I mean? And you're good at it, you know what I mean? Because you're polished, you know what I mean? You come up, you're professional, you know what acts are coming up, you have nothing written down, you know what I mean, everything, it's a skill I'm not a fan of, but I see where it's important, you know what I mean, but you have to have a different mindset. It's not about you.
Yeah.
You're a few minutes up front, and then keep the fucking show moving.
The only thing you need as a host is remember, it's not my job to be the funniest person tonight.
Exactly. That's,
if you remember that, you'll go insane if you don't think of that.
Yeah.
It's not your job to be the funniest person.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I said, but it's hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's because that, plus you got to get everybody warmed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even like going first. Cool, so you don't mind it. I'm sorry.
I like
my boy Cordell.
I like going first.
He don't want seeing his name up on the thing. Because he likes to get it over with.
Yeah.
I'll keep that in mind.
I know.
Like, no, okay. So,
not all the time.
I feel like Pete was a master.
Yeah, let's get into this.
Yeah, I thought Pete was a master of setting up the lineup. Like, this person will bring energy. This person, I felt like he put, like, Justin and I towards the end to bring the energy back up.
Yeah.
like towards the end of the show.
Middle, towards the end, yeah.
Yeah. So I
mean, we've been in all. That's the beautiful thing about it.
Isn't that a part of the skill of hosting too? Like to know like what order to put people in?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, I'd say I'd say so as far as like ordering a show. It's high energy people, low energy people, this kind of material, that kind of material, and just knowing how to naturally order people.
Yeah.
I said a lot to say nothing at all right there.
No,
because no, you said that, but at the same time, you fell into that role. You know, basically, not Cam, right? You do most of that, right?
I do a lot, but I'm not the overseer.
No. But what I'm saying is, because look, man, we show up. I know what it is. You grab the list. I know. You know. You take control and you handle your business. Don't act like it's not a big deal. It's a big deal. Oh, you know. Pete used to pick the lineup. You know what I'm saying? You know the comics. You know what I'm saying? They show up. You know what material. You've heard people. You pay attention for the most part. So you do the line. It's a big deal.
Yeah, I pretty much do the same thing now. It's like a couple people at the top. A couple people at the top that I know that are good, so the crowd gets into it.
Yeah.
And then trying my best to figure out...
New comics.
We got 7 new comics tonight. This person did it once. Put them in the middle. This guy's done it 8 times, so at least they got their sea legs under them. Put them near the beginning. And then I got your guys' posters up on the wall now.
Nice. So
I apologize if you're going to get less than preferential treatment now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, Daniel.
I'm going to need a $10,000 down payment.
100%.
And then you can get two. And maybe I'll give you 2 minutes.
Cool. See you.
I'll light you at 45.
Nice.
45 seconds.
Oh, man, I thought it was 45 minutes.
No.
Special.
You get 2 minutes, I'll lie to you, and I'll let you have 45, and I'll be like, it was a minute.
Damn.
I let you have a minute. No, and you guys are always near the end, because I know you guys have been, you're the part of the senior class. I don't mean that age-wise. No, it's like you've been doing it longer than most people that are there, and your experience, and your solid comics, so.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Episode of the Midnight Pocket Podcast brought to you in part by the Acumen Paralegal Services. Help you help yourself the legal way. The services that they offer, they help with documents that need to be typed. Guardianships, probate, divorce, wills and trusts, complaints, business organization, financial planning, and legal research and writing. Go ahead and give them a call at 216-727-0049 or 216-456-2000. Michelle White will get you right.
Yeah, where can they find you, man?
Oh, shit. Y'all can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on Instagram.
And you can find me at the_great_CoreE. Or you can find us both at the Midnight Paco Podcast on Instagram. I would like to thank Daniel P. Myers for coming through.
Thank you so much.
Giving us his time.
Thank
Where
you
can
guys.
They find you, man?
You could find me on the blacklist of Cleveland comedy because of my extensive knowledge on serial killers that I have displayed today. No, you could find me at Daniel P. Myers, DanielPMyers on everything. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that. And if there's a show, I'm probably on it. I'm everywhere.
Yeah,
omnipresent.
He's everywhere.
P. Myers.
Appreciate it, brother.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good show, man.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Peace out.
Peace. Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco Podcast.